We want to welcome all of you here this evening. Here tonight to keep this simple celebration, to celebrate what is for us the most solemn ceremony of our faith. Tonight we come together to participate in the memorial of our Lord's death. You're here tonight because our Lord asked you to be here. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we come together at the appointed time once each year to commemorate his great sacrifice for us. We'd like to begin this service this evening with the use of hymn number 326, "When I View the Cross." The hymn will be showing up on your screen here shortly so that we can sing it together. We simply ask that you mute your microphones, unless you have a part in the service this evening, and that you also turn off your videos for this service. I think that might be a more reverent way to proceed. So let us sing together, and then following the hymn, we'll open this service with a word of prayer.
When I view the cruel cross, where my loving Savior died, for the bitter pain and loss, born to save his future.
Thank you.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly and thankfully come before thy precious throne of grace this night, in the name and through the merit of thy dear Son. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy tender love and mercy that thou hast shown towards us through the gift of thy dear Son on our behalf. And we thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for this wonderful privilege we've been given to come together this night with our fellow brethren in spirit and in truth to keep this simple service. We would ask your blessing to be upon this service and especially upon our dear brother Bob Carnegie, that you might guide and direct his thoughts as he ministers unto us this night. And we would especially ask your blessing to be with each consecrated heart as they participate and keep this simple feast in memory of thy dear Son. Dear Heavenly Father, with love and devotion in our hearts, we desire to be pleasing to thee. Search our hearts and forgive us for our shortcomings and help us to purge out all leaven. Let this season be a special time of reflection and self-examination for us, that we may continue faithful in our vows of consecration unto thee. And now, dear Heavenly Father, we leave this service in thy tender care and keeping, praying that you watch over each heart bowed before thee, and we indeed pray for thy kingdom to be established, asking it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And so now we'd like to turn this meeting over to our leader this evening, our dear brother Bob Carnegie, who will lead and minister this service tonight of our Lord's memorial. Dear brother Bob. And can you hear us, brother Bob?
Can you hear me okay?
Now I can hear you fine.
Well, good. Glad to hear that.
Yes, you're sounding loud and clear now.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction and your prayer. Brethren, today is the day we celebrate our Lord's memorial. Now, why do we call this the memorial? The word memorial means, according to the dictionary, serving to preserve remembrance. Anything intended to preserve the memory of a person or an event. It was at the time of the first Passover, as instructions were given to Moses, that God said, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." Exodus 12:14. The Lord goes on to explain the reason for this memorial. "It shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, 'What mean ye by this service?' that ye shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses.'" Exodus 12:25-27. So the feast of the Passover was intended as a means of remembering on a yearly basis the deliverance God afforded his people, both as regards their lives and their freedom from bondage in Egypt. that fulfilled the dictionary definition. Anything intended to preserve the memory of an event. But a memorial is also defined as anything to preserve the memory of a person. So, in the case of our Lord's memorial, the question is, as the children of Israel inquired about the Passover, what mean ye by this service? So we inquire, what mean ye by this service we participate in tonight? Now, since it is Jesus who said, "Thy word is truth," we shall look for the answer to this question in God's holy word and nowhere else. In Matthew 26, 17 to 19, we read the following. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go unto the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. So here we are, down the stream of time, from Egypt to Jesus' day. And as commanded, the children of Israel were still observing this memorial of the Passover, Jesus and his disciples among them. The account goes on to say, "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Verses 20 and 21. The Luke account adds this detail. "And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Luke 22, 15 and 16. Now, brethren, we have in our minds the picture the scriptures are presenting to us. Jesus with his disciples partaking of the memorial of the Passover. Now, it is at this time that Jesus does something very unusual and unanticipated. He institutes a new kind of memorial altogether, a memorial that would take the place of the Passover in the lives of his followers. For this, we go to Matthew 26, 26 to 28. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, as regards these emblems, the bread and the cup, we must pay great attention to Jesus' definition as to what they mean. Sometimes we have an odd habit of Jesus or the apostles will interpret something very simply. And then we go off on our own and interpret the interpretation. The trouble with that is it makes void. It cancels out. It confuses the inspired explanation and substitutes a human prognostication. Now, we find Jesus in these gospel accounts being very consistent and specific and easily understood. Luke 22:19. He took bread, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." In that simple sentence, there are two entities mentioned: my body and for you. My and you, two different entities. The my is Jesus. The you is those to whom he was passing the bread. Jesus was in no way, shape, or form saying the you group were the bread. He was saying the bread was given on their behalf. You had the giver, Jesus, and the receivers, his disciples. Further clarifying the distinction between Jesus and his followers as regards what the bread represents, Luke 22:19 says, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." We are to do this in remembrance of Jesus, no one else. Now, we get to the answer to that question the children of Israel would pose: "What do you mean ye by this service?" This service, this memorial, is something we do to remember Jesus. It is Jesus' memorial. It is a means of remembering him. We are congregated here like a laser to put our attention on our Lord Jesus and remind ourselves of his suffering and death on that cross, which, similar to the Passover lamb, which saved Israel from death and delivered them from bondage, so the sacrifice of our Lord will deliver us in due time from death and from the bondage of sin. Just as God did not want Israel to lose its gratitude and memory of what he did for them in Egypt, so he does not want us to forget or lose sight of the great foundation of the entire plan of God for the salvation of the world: the cross of Christ. Christ and Christ crucified. A memorial is a device of remembrance. Jesus said clearly who is the object of this device of the bread and the cup. Do this in remembrance of me. All Christians recognize Jesus' discourse on himself as the bread of life is a further elaboration upon the meaning of the bread at this memorial. For that, we go to John 6:32-33. "Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Let's repeat that divine definition of the bread. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. No one can qualify as being the bread without having first come down from heaven. Verse 53, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. When introducing the memorial, Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. Here he says, the bread is his flesh, which he gives for the life of the world. Same exact thing, not complicated. Let's read that again. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus was a flesh and blood human being. He was not masquerading as a human being. He was not a part of some triune God pretending to be human. He was the Son of God, and he was a real man, perfect. And he died on the cross as a substitute for Adam and his race. If we go on and further interpret this and add our own strokes of genius to it, we shall miss the entire and simple point. Jesus gave himself a ransom for all, and that ransom was a perfect human life, taking Adam's place in the sentence of death. Now, of the cup, Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew 26:28. So what does Jesus say the cup represents? Shed blood. His shed blood. And what does the Bible say about shed blood and the remission of sins? Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Matthew 26:28. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, in case there's any confusion as to the one and only meaning of the memorial, Paul says this about it. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11:26. Now this deserves some attention. Jesus said, we do this in remembrance of him, his broken body and shed blood on the cross. That's why we do the memorial on the day Christ was crucified. When Paul said, we show the Lord's death. By doing this, what did he mean? That word show is 2605, and it means to proclaim or promulgate. It's elsewhere in the New Testament translated declare, preach, speak of, or teach. So, just as the original Passover and its yearly observance was a teaching device for the young of Israel to never forget their heritage and the works God had done on their behalf, so the memorial is a teaching device for us, a means of constantly drawing to our attention the great sacrifice of the Lord on our behalf, and a means to even teach others in our midst who may not enjoy the background we do. But whether it be the words of Jesus or hear the words of Paul, what mean ye by this service? It is to remember, to memorialize the death of our Lord, his flesh and blood sacrifice, the bread and the cup. Now, we don't have time to do an in-depth study of 1 Corinthians 10, where we find the unfortunate translation that has caused so much confusion. King James Version, 1 Corinthians 10:17. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. This wrong translation has Paul contradicting both Jesus and himself by saying the bread is the brethren. This would suggest by partaking of the bread, church members are partaking of themselves. That makes no sense. Nor could that, which is an ongoing reality, the church is an ongoing reality, be spoken of as a memorial, which is to preserve the memory of a past event or a person in the past. Now, after all the work we've done and the unanimous testimony of the scriptures as to what the bread and cup represent, our Lord's flesh and blood sacrifice, we now seemingly are told in 1 Corinthians, the church of the bread? The King James Version has some pretty destructive translations, let's say regarding hell for one. But to my mind, this is the worst. Snatching the reverential meaning of the bread from its exclusive proprietor, Jesus, and distributing it instead to some of his followers. In the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul makes clear the bread is Jesus' broken body. This is verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He goes on to say those who participate in the memorial unworthily, verse 27, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. The body and blood of the Lord. That's clear. We are not the body here, of which we could be guilty by unworthily partaking of the memorial. Jesus is. The correct translation of 1 Corinthians 10:17 is in the Diaglot and almost all legitimate translations. Because there is one loaf, we the many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. That's the Diaglot. Today's English, because there is one bread, all of us, though many, are one body because we all share the same loaf. Rotherham, who had a Bible student background, puts it this way. Because one loaf, one body, we the many are, for we all of the one loaf partake. Now, this section of Corinthians is not so much actually about the memorial as it is about the practice of eating food offered to idols. Verse 20, today's English. What I am saying is that what is sacrificed on pagan altars is offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be partakers with demons. So Paul is here using the oneness of the Lord's people as all enjoying in common the benefits of Christ's sacrifice, making them one body in effect. So participation in the eating of food offered to idols runs the risk of their appearing at one with demons to whom that food is offered. Verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. It is in this context that Paul says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break? Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Verse 16. The word translated communion is 2642 and means, according to Strong's, partnership or participation. It's translated a number of ways, including fellowship. It's a study in itself. But Paul, in that statement, is not contradicting all Jesus and he himself has said about the memorial, that it's about Christ's death exclusively. What he's saying in the context is using the memorial as an example of all believers jointly participating in the benefits of Christ's flesh and blood sacrifice and the oneness that prevails among us because of that. In contrast to that, he's telling the brethren, participation of any kind in the feasts that have to do with idol worshiping, make them one and in fellowship with pagans and demons. Now, finally, we have identified the clear statements of Jesus and Paul regarding the memorial emblems. They simply represent the death of Christ, his broken body of flesh on the cross and shed blood. So our participation in this memorial, the partaking of the emblems, is representative of our faith and belief and acceptance of Jesus as the Messiah who gave his life for the life of the world. Thus, we preach or teach his death through these emblems. And we remind ourselves of the great sacrifice which opens the way to salvation, not only for us, but eventually the entire world of mankind. So, brethren, ours is not a selfish hope, as if the benefits that accrue to us through Christ's sacrifice go no further than us. Oh, no. It will be through us, as joint heirs with Christ in his kingdom, that the world of mankind will be offered the opportunity of life forever on a perfected earth. And don't we rejoice in that and look forward to that wonderful time. You know, it's looking forward to that time that Jesus said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Matthew 26:27. Until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffered. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Luke 22:15-16. In these statements, night before his death, Jesus was looking forward to the grand time when his followers are all united beyond the veil and the blessed work of his kingdom on earth begins. That kingdom work is summed up beautifully in the simple promise God made to Abraham. In thee and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Jesus was looking forward to the time when not only his suffering and sacrifice was over, but those of his followers as well. For it was not going to be so simple a task as just accepting and appreciating that great sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. Oh no. For Jesus would later make clear his church would be given a teaching mission to spread this good news of the kingdom to all the world for a witness. And not until that preaching work was satisfactorily completed would the end of this age come and a new age of restitution dawn. And in the meantime, carrying this torch of the gospel would have its price. Really following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth would have its price. This is reflected in Jesus' question to his disciples who wish to be on his right and left hand in the kingdom. But are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? This was Jesus' way of illustrating that to really benefit from his sacrifice in this age, it would be necessary to follow in the footsteps of his sacrificial death. As he put it elsewhere, take up your cross and follow me. And I'll tell you, in those days, if you saw somebody carrying a cross, you knew right where they were headed. They were headed to death. And so, dear brethren, as we struggle, and it is a struggle, against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and try to stay true to our commission to preach the gospel and live the life of consecration, may we not forget Jesus paid the greatest price of all, so that we could make these halting steps to be his disciples. Our partaking of these emblems, representing the flesh and blood sacrifice of our Lord, is to be a stark reminder of the price he paid so that we might have the privilege of entering into this narrow way to life. And it is indeed narrow. And brethren, may this moment in time permit us an inventory of ourselves. Are we truly living the life the head of the church has exampled and dictated to us? Is he the primary devotion of our life? Is following him to the exclusion of all others a fact in our life? Should we make this upcoming year a year of greater diligence to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, never letting a day go by when we haven't spent at least some time in meditation and study of our Lord's life and the messages of his appointed apostles? Now, before we partake, let us allow Jesus to explain very clearly and simply what we experience by partaking in this memorial, what it actually means in practical, spiritual terms. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have not life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Dear brethren, may we all have been reminded tonight, as the children of Israel were by each surviving Passover, what mean ye by this service? Now, before our brother Mora offers the prayer upon the bread and we partake, let us imagine Jesus saying this to us as he did his disciples of old. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brother Moore will offer now the prayer upon the bread.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for this privilege and opportunity to be gathered here tonight to partake in this memorial. Father, we at this time pray a blessing upon the unleavened bread, which we shall all partake of at this time. We thank you for the understanding that this bread represents Jesus' flesh, broken not just for us, but for the whole world. Father, we again thank you for this privilege, this opportunity, and we give you praise and honor, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before our brother Parkinson offers the prayer upon the cup, let us imagine Jesus saying these words to us. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Brother Parkinson will now offer the prayer upon the cup.
Our dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy wonderful, most holy name, and we thank thee for the gift of thy dear Son. We thank thee for his teaching, for his life poured out for us, ultimately unto death. We thank thee now for the opportunity to remember his sacrifice for us and to remember it together. Above all, honor thy name and that of our thy dear Son, and help us to do that also in remembrance of him. We ask in Jesus' precious, most worthy name. Amen.
And now, dear brethren, following the pattern Jesus established on that long ago night of the first memorial, we shall sing a closing hymn and end this service. Brother Mark, could we have him to remember me?
According to thy gracious word, in meek humility, this will I do, my dying Lord, I will remember thee. Thank you.